Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scatters. And I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew, born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew, I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew, I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew です。日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Way.
We are Hebrew.
Over my sister.
Shalom, shalom, beloved saints. Hallelujah. Those who are strangers or scattered abroad, greetings. My name is Sister Ashley. To many of you, hallelujah. Some of you may be tuning in tonight for the first time. Maybe you'll catch this on the repeat. I'm the host tonight, and I'm alone tonight. I have a beloved friend and mother named Mother Jennifer is usually with me, speaking with me, conversating with each of you, and she is not here. Hopefully she'll be able to listen or listen to the playback. So you're greatly missed. Your presence is missed. Hallelujah. I have one desire tonight, and it is to share a testimony of a beloved brother who I speak very highly of, in front of him and behind him, him and his family. I went to him and asked him for a testimony that I remembered from many years ago, and I wanted more details and I wanted permission to share it. So that's what I'll be sharing tonight in hopes that it would reach some of you and make an impact. So it's my job tonight to do the talking, and thank you to those of you who are willing to listen. It's not a small thing to me. If you know me personally, It's not a small thing to me. So thank you so much for the honor of your time. Blessings to Brother Ron in Clarksville, who comes immediately to my mind when the music was over. Bless you for all that you do, all those there in Clarksville that are running hard, submitted. Bless you. And to every woman, hallelujah, who is shaming the world with your submission. It's very admirable, hallelujah, worthy to be praised. And a special hi to a woman named Leah. If she's listening tonight from Philea Ministries, she's someone I came across on a recommended video a long time ago, someone that I didn't follow at all, but I was immediately attracted to the meekness of her spirit and her dress, her holiness. She covered her hair, etc. So I don't know her life or her manner, but I did notice that she donated today on Pastor's Live video. I was trying to make a comment in Pastor's Live video today, and Shep is my witness, it just wouldn't go through. But it was a comment from the dining hall stating that all the women of the Sherry Ministries on land, almost all of them, or let's say half anyway, a handful of sisters were listening live, cooking for the men and the children with honor in a building that we didn't build, and cooking the food that we grew with our own hands. It is our desire to submit, to obey, and to serve with absolutely no shame. I want to give my acknowledgments by saying the word resolve. Resolve is a word that I did not use in my vocabulary, nor will you hear me say it much. I had learned it through pastor speech and then an elder, I believe it was Elder Mitch, it's been some time. They use the word resolve, and it means a determination. In the times that we're living in, I think it would benefit and strengthen each of us mentally to really have a firm resolve and a firm determination in what you believe. I believe in the love doctrine. I believe in loving my husband and surrendering myself, submitting myself, subjecting myself at all times. It is my nature. I thank the Father for the steps and the stages of humility and the stages of surrender. For the first stage is merely the introduction of an abnormal behavior that you've never been. You've never been humble. You've never known what it was like to emanate holiness, to be holy, for he is holy. You've never known what it's like to submit or to silence your mouth or your thoughts, and you believed your opinion was valid. So stage one is a lot of the listening audience. Stage two, you submit yourself, and I'm just throwing this out there loosely, not meaning it in doctrinal ways, like this is how it is. I'm just, you know, for ease of listening, hopefully it makes sense. Stage two, you're going to say, I'm surrendered to this. I'm going to do this. And you resist the evil. And you be not conformed, but you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus. And you despise the carnality that he despises. And you despise the vanity that he despises. And you change. And you no longer sit on your throne. And you sit down in the dust and you pray and you change. And stage three is where that nature is all you know. When it becomes a part of you, there's not a fight. There's no opposition. There's no accusation. There's no other way. And so I pray that you'll make your way up that ladder and that you'll fight very hard to make a firm determination as a woman to submit and surrender and obey. If it pricks you to say it, then you don't have a strong resolve. If it pricks you to do it, then your resolve isn't strong enough. You need to be strengthened, be more secure. Don't you know that, and I think you would agree, that if you were to strengthen your resolve, and I'm still in my acknowledgments, because I glorify the Father for the process of molding and preparing me to enter into his kingdom. Wouldn't you agree that you would be more likely to succeed in his way, in his walk, and be loved by him, accepted by him, if you were to make a firm determination towards him, you would find more evidence and more reasons why to follow what you've committed to following if you strengthen your resolve, wouldn't you? If you commit to the way, the straight and narrow way, then you'll find more evidence and reasons why to commit even more. And you'll have your faith strengthened. And you'll no longer just believe in the existence of a creator, but you'll be known by him. And it increases your value. And that's the goal. To be used as a vessel fit for the master's use, as some are gold and silver in his house. Hallelujah. So I thank the Father for a very strong resolve. And there's no shame in my heart at all towards his way. And remember, if you are ashamed of him now, he'll be ashamed for you before his Father in heaven. So you need to rid yourself of, well, I don't know if Pastor Dallas, who I need to follow, I don't know if the Straightway Truth Ministry, if this is true, or if these things that are being said are true. I don't know if I want to do this thing. I agree with this, but not with this. Well, you prove your weakness. Because how long can you halt between two opinions and still stand for what you believe in? And I have some really strong mental mottos that I live by, and one of them is, I'm being tested by the Most High Creator of heaven and earth, and none of you will make me fail. And the requirement from every one of us is to love. And no amount of hate or resentfulness or challenge or battle or shame or wavering, nothing will take you from the love of the Father. But it might be difficult to commit that, you know, in your heart. Not with your lips, with your heart. Your heart says, I'll go this far, but this has got to get right before I take it another step. Or the plethora of other excuses that the human spirit might make. So I'm thankful tonight for my Creator, who promises to bless those who bless and curse those who curse. I'm thankful that he is a deliverer to the righteous. He's never forsaken me, ever. I'm thankful for the healing in my body, the miracles that he's done in my life. I'm thankful for the miracle of hearing, because your spirit doesn't speak English. Neither can you understand the things of the spirit just by dialoguing one to another. There's a hearing in the spirit and a speech in the spirit. So, hallelujah for obedience and wisdom. Hallelujah for his glory. I actually wanted to get on record this testimony, and that's the basis of the show, hoping that if I get off or veer off at all, my sister A.M., maybe you can edit it or clip it out if it needs to be duplicated, maybe throw the show up on one thumbnail, or, you know, upload our show and then maybe just upload the email separately if need be, or if the show doesn't go lengthy, just throw it all up. I think you'll all enjoy it. I want to give a special thanks and a forever commitment to my husband. I really admire his strength in the flesh. You know, as women, you know your husband through and through. And my husband's strength is very, very evident. One of the things that weaken a man is women. And my husband's never allowed me to weaken him, nor has he allowed other women to weaken him. And I say that because the way that we live is very foreign to those of you who haven't visited or who don't live it. So I want to speak in a way that you understand. Why I would acknowledge my husband in that manner is simply for your ears, because my heart already knows. But my husband has had a job for 23 years in the world and never wavered. Of course, he knows the beauty of a woman and the beauty of her shape or her voice or her smile. Exposed to Gentile women for 23 years and never wavered in his faithfulness to the Messiah. And never committed his life or his body to a pagan woman. And that's to be commendable. So I thank the Father for his strength. And I remember the words of our shepherd when he said, does anyone think about how it is to be me? He asks it of himself. A lot of my heart's meditations are towards my husband, what it's like to be him. I meditate a lot about my shepherd, what it's like to be him. Because in those moments when you get out of self and you think about someone else, you can really get ministered to. You can learn the ways of the Father by getting out of yourself. Hallelujah. To my shepherd and his house, I don't see him often. Sometimes I see him as much as each of you, which is just on the Sabbath. But I always constantly pray that hindrances not be surrounding him, leeches, voices, pulling on his anointing, taking and not giving. For his whole house, I pray that he constantly be shielded from the ignorance of this generation and from the war that our enemy wages against him, because he knows he's priceless. Hallelujah. So let's get to the testimony. Tonight I speak a letter that I personally went to a man named Scott for. I asked him to write it. And, of course, getting permission from my husband to approach him and speak to him in this manner. And I just simply said, I remember vaguely, you know, a story about what you went through prior to living on the land. And could you give me details as much as you would like to share? Names, if you would like to share them. And I would like to read it on the show. I thought it would be very timely because he's a man of impeccable character. And he's been through trials. And there's a couple of reasons I say that. Number one, I live around great men. I live around great men. It benefits a woman's spirit to see great men and to see men of strength. You cannot heal completely unless you do. Witness it and see it. Or put your hope and your faith in it. On this land, I have men and brethren that I pray greatly for, that they never fall, that their knees never get weak, especially to women. I am honored to live amongst the strength of the men here, their camaraderie, their relationships, their friendliness, all because of a man who heard the voice of wisdom, our shepherd. I have no shame. I'm going to keep saying that to each of you because a lot of you may be gripped by shame. Shame doesn't want your confession of what you would live and die for. Shame doesn't want you to say, I submit and surrender to this man and I love and believe this man and I'll follow this man as he follows Christ and I'll follow this pastor as my man follows him. That commitment, there's a little too much fear in it. Right? For some of you, maybe. So you want to have that mental resolve, that spiritual resolve, that strength inside of you that says, I believe it so much, I would die for it. The shepherd says, either way, we're clear. We commit our lives to this straight and narrow way, and in the end, we will not receive damnation because we held ourselves accountable and moral in all things. And if there's not a creator, if there's no God, if we were wrong and we were lied to, then we're clear. But if we're right and you didn't have the mental resolve and the commitment and you didn't serve and obey and live your life in the fear of Yah, the woe is on you. So, number one, I speak highly of this man. I speak highly of every man here. I do not and will not allow anyone outside of these gates to speak negative about this man in my presence or his wife or his children. And I believe that same mental resolve about more than just him and his family here. But that's the tightness and the bond and the unity that we've developed here that I pray each of you are going to get as well. Know no man after the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And this man has really been an amazing example of a brother from day one. So, to the letter. He titled the letter, You Will Be Tried. And I apologize, one more interjection before I go. I thought it would be timely because of the communities, because of our pastor and our shepherd's community dialogue. He's conversating about communities. He's mentioning it a lot, really trying to light a fire under the ashes of someone who might be sitting on money, on property, on idleness. You know, they're really, really trying to get you to live after the ways of Yah and be spared from what is to come. And as you said so more recently, it's almost getting too late. This is a far cry in the wilderness that men would not, I say men, but women generically, that men would not just flee for fear the wrath to come or the fire to come, but to really fear their maker. Because, as he said, God hasn't blessed America. So, this young man and his family was once in the state of California. And here goes his story. And I will pause in between here and there just to have a really good copy of this testimony for anyone who might want to hear it and hear it again. This is my testimony 10 years later, he says. Since following Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, and of his goodness, even in the times of test, trial, and betrayal. Pause. My sisters, no matter what's heavy on your mind or your heart or whatever you're being pressed through to overcome, to get rid of, no matter what kind of love is set before you to manifest, you must do it. Don't think you are the only one. Get out of self. For everyone is in the press to get right. And there's just no time for anything else. Our Father is very deserving of the best, and he will have the remnant. Back to the letter. It says, when I first came across our beloved shepherd, Pastor Charles Dow, 10 years ago, I was living in another state. I became part of a brand new home fellowship with Straightway. We started with three families, my wife and I, in our 20s at the time, a family of five, also in their 20s, and an older couple with a family of four in their late 50s, okay? So, pause. He mentions that they became part of a brand new home fellowship with Straightway. And maybe that's a new term for someone listening, home fellowship. What is a home fellowship? You'll hear us say it often as you grow. or as you commit your mental resolve to following the Father through us. The Word talks about how we should have a fellowship of suffering together, all of us, a fellowship of suffering, a fellowship of the Spirit, fellowship one with another. You'll find these phrases in the Word. Throw it up there, Sister Sakina, Acts 2:42. Please post it in the chat. They continued in doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. The followers and believers of the Messiah, they continued together. Okay? What fellowship has light with darkness? What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? That's a pretty simple question. You would come out, be separate. Peter, James, first chapters, it talks about, hey, here's my letter to the scattering. Here's my letter to the strangers that are scattered. They're meeting in their homes, they're hearing. So you'll hear the word fellowships. You'll hear the word communities. You'll hear the word home assemblies. You'll hear the word tribes. It's all really interchangeable. So back to the letter. They started out with a home fellowship, okay? He had three families. He already told you about a little bit about him. He said, we started off on fire for Yah with a genuine excitement for the truth that pastor preaches, as most new fellowships do when they come across the ministry. Notice I said excitement. This is his words. Notice I said excitement for the truth. It was yet to be determined who really had a love for the truth. We were fellowshipping every week at each other's homes. Pause. So what is a fellowship every week at each other's homes like? Well, same doctrine, same spirit, breaking of bread, praying, fellowship. Okay? That's where they started. Fellowshipping every week at each other's homes and enjoying the love of our newfound family in Christ. Some of y'all have experienced that, right? How wonderful it is to come together with one mind to say this is what we're going to do. He says the ministry was much smaller then. Okay, this is just 10 years ago. He says with just a few newly formed home fellowships developing and only the one community in Tennessee that we've come to know of as the Hub. Okay, so there was one community and there were a few forming home fellowships across the United States just 10 years ago. You got that shift? Now what do we got? 10. 11. Gonna be 12 in 10 years. So we've seen growth immensely as a ministry, right? And he even says we now have 9 communities. So some of the home fellowships will be becoming what we call community when they join together. One pot, one mind, right? I remember at least 5 years ago when Shepherd told me personally, walking right up here by the tabernacle, the face of the ministry is not going to be the same in 5 years. And we was country, still are. Anyway, Elder Becker, country. Ain't thinking about nobody outside this gate. Ask me how many times. Now I do. Got you on my mind all day. Hardly thinking of anything else. But at the time, oh no, when I was moving here, my sisters, I was moving to get away from everything, even myself, that I had ever faced out there. Because that out there is not Yah's way. And I wanted a touch of the peace that these people have. Back to it. It says, in those early stages of the home fellowship, we were learning and working towards community. When I heard the messages pastor preached of the disciples having all things common out of Acts and how the people of the book were together, it resonated with me. What's he talking about? He's talking about Acts 2:44. Sister Sakina, please. Acts 4:32. You can post them, write them, my sisters, if you need to. All that believed were together, and they had all things common. What does common mean? Common means shared. All that believed were together and they had all things shared. Oh, you need this car, brother? Here. You need some dinner? I got you, brother. Hey, can you watch my child? I got you. Yes. Right? It's more than just the spiritual word and Power Ranger suit. We're sharing. You care about your things? You want your things clean? Loan them to a saint. Let's see how attached you are to the world. Right? You love this book? Loan it out. Have some guests over. You got white sheets? You won't anymore. White will be the last thing you buy. Mother Stallings would say, y'all have heard me say this before, Chef, these women are green as goose shit. What does that mean, Mother? I'm 27 at the time. I'm not 27. I'm hallelujah approaching 40. What does that mean, Mother Stallings? Green as goose shit. You not knowing what it means proves you are. Shit comes out of goose, it's green. The older it gets, the darker it gets. The harder it gets, the blacker it gets. The stronger it gets. Right now, you're green as goose shit. I don't take it personal when anyone kicks against our way. Don't take it personal when anyone kicks against Shepherd or his house or how we live or got this video or that going on. I'm not moved by it. But I'll die for what I believe in. That's my resolve. So I don't take it lightly when you got wankers, wishy-washers, in one minute, out the next. You can't be trusted. You know, lying, saying you're one thing. And the Holy Spirit see right through you. Right through you. Because we ain't green as goose shit. And it's a good thing to have high standards and people filled with the Ruach. Because I myself too, when I was green, I used to think Shepherd didn't see like I saw. Now I know he sees more. He's a patient man. He waits. He knows the danger of letting a soul go. And he practices everything he teaches. And it benefits me to place myself around those who love, don't complain, don't murmur, ain't got no gossip, slander, accusation in their hearts. But I ain't done that in years. You be like, what, Ashley? No, really. I ain't sat in no conversation, slamming somebody, talking against them, talking about them, letting their name come out in any kind of negative way. The purpose of gossip is to change the mind of the person listening. That's gossip. You're going to sway someone's mind? Look, when I moved here, Pastor Del said, you see her? Stay the hell away from her. I can't do that. I can't say to you, hey, sis, you see her? Stay the hell away from her. Sure wish I could sometimes, because she's leading you a wrong way. And when she leaves, you gone too. Seen it hundreds of times. Green as goose shit. Ain't got no sense. Ain't got enough love for the Father. Got a bunch of excuses. Got a bunch of worldly wisdom. Come here thinking we Amish. I've heard all kinds of stuff. Kind of funny, because you don't know how keen the Father's Spirit is in his people. You don't know how he's talking, how he's a lamp to their feet, guiding them. You don't know because they're wise, they're quiet. Don't worry, this ain't everybody. I was really glad to hear Pastor's words. He's very honest, very truthful. I was worried about bringing some of y'all to the community because of the vipers, he said. I'm with you, Pastor. Seen a lot. I'll follow my shepherd all the way to the end. Watch me. And I don't take it lightly to somebody who won't. Because you are a weight. Acts 2:44, all that believe were together. They had all things common. Let's see what this man experienced. right? Let's go back to the sentence. When I heard the messages Pastor preached to the disciples having all things common out of Acts and how the people of the book were together, it resonated with me. I grew up in a military family. I was in athletics all my life, so it became easy for me to comprehend the structure and order of Yah. The Bible is a tribal book. I understood the physical and mental process of taking a civilian or a citizen mind and converting it to be more or become tribal, as this is what they do to you in the military and in higher levels of team sports. And I played sports for 14 years. I know a lot of you got your stories. I'm no different. I played collegiate sports. The difference in those who press towards a mark for a prize, even in the natural or in the flesh, even for a corruptible crown, they're very open-minded to someone else telling them how to do something. That's what really sets apart those who are in the military and those who are in sports, collegiate or, as we now know, professional athletes that I've never met before, and now they obey, submit, surrender, and serve our shepherd as he follows the Messiah. It's a beautiful thing because they've submitted themselves all their lives wanting to follow, you know, not because it's easy, but because they're committed. Because within the first year, our fellowship was seeking counsel and advice from pastor and the elders on how to move towards community. Pause just for a second. Within the first year, our fellowship was seeking counsel and advice from pastor and the elders on how to move forward towards community. You mean just the first year you was already submitting yourself, wanting advice? That's amazing. He's not the only one, not the only community by any means. It's just one small cry in the wilderness of how it's supposed to be. I understand the innumerable questions that come to a person's mind when they want to do it their way. I understand a woman's mind who comes to a community who wants to change it, who seeks a better way, who wants to manipulate and change, dominate behind the scenes, whisper, complain. I've seen it all. So I understand there's a spirit that underlies and says, it's got to be a different way. We're not going to do this, we're going to do that. Okay? I understand. Secondly, I understand, as Pastor put it really well in a video recently, he said, you got Elder Mitch for an example, you got Elder Rufus for an example. They're leading two completely different groups of people with the same heart, same mind, and they're manifesting it differently. What does that mean? This one might be building this, doing it this way. This one's building this, doing it this way, according to how Yah's spirit is leading those men in those areas. You have to, as a woman, you have to trust the spirit of Yah in a man. You have to. I wouldn't be filled with the peace I have if I didn't have total submission and trust in my shepherd and my husband. And what is total submission and trust? I have marveled at Hollywood movies that will allow honor to be expressed in this manner. You go down, I go down with you. Wow. You die, I die. You mess up, I'm going with you. And where's that honor? We ain't even messing up, you know? Hey, ain't even no mess ups. We a clean slate. And people looking behind Pastor Dow. Pastor Charles Dow, who is he? How many traffic lights has he counted? How much gas he got in his car? Oh, he driving a 2000. Oh, my. Yeah, you know? Doing all this research. Don't worry. I know what it feels like. Talk to a brother that said, hey, my wife throws the computer screen at your show. She cannot stand you. Please keep doing it. Please keep talking. Or, hey, my wife, she done looked up every credential she could find on you. Where you from? Found your mom, found your dad, found your stepdad, found your college, found your high school, found your stats. I'm with you, Pastor. I'm right there. We looking for all this. Got a clean slate. Let's go back to this brother. What'd he do? Within the first year, our fellowship was seeking counsel and advice from pastor and the elders on how to move forward towards community. Why? Why do you do that? Because just even the humility that your spirit can express will get Yah's attention. It will get his favor. You will get his blessing. Not because we're beating our chest and beating the war drum and saying off with those who don't follow and off with those who don't follow Pastor Dow and listen to every word and do it his way. Hoorah. No, it's actually nothing like that. It's just because we know Yah's, he said it in his letter, structure and order. It was easy for him to understand it. It's like, oh, we just got to do this, let's do this. But let's see what his experience is like. We purchased 37 acres of land. This was 10 years ago in a secluded area in the next state, okay? That takes faith, money, time, commitment, right? Following instructions. This is his life he's living, as well as those who were with him. We're going to buy this. This is what we're going to do. He says, we knew it was right to follow the blueprint we have in the book of Acts and the example Straightway Tennessee has been living for over 10 years at a time. It seemed everyone had a heart set on serving Yah, his people, and giving all to make community happen. Pause. I promise I didn't intend on breaking it up this much, but y'all, if you don't have a strong man leading a community, it will crumble. I mean, it would be tempted in every way. Satan's going to play hardball. He's going to come at that man, and if he's weak at all, it's not going to stand. There's no way. And I won't go into that, but he's saying it seemed everyone had a heart set on serving Yah, his people, and giving all. You got a strong man writing this letter because he's still standing 10 years later. He says, I put my trust in the older couple we were fellowshipping with and leaning on wisdom they should have had from a lifetime of experience. I submitted myself to the older man who I trusted to handle many purchases of the land and to move forward to get things established. Pause again. It's our custom to submit ourselves to the age, to the wisdom, and to the older. Pastor, you'll hear him say, if you have gathered nothing in your youth, Sirach 25, Chef, how can you find anything in your old age? Sirach says you got to gather instruction from your youth up so that you will find wisdom in your old age. It says, much experience is the crown of old men. Some of you are banking off the experienced. Some of you are desperate to hear, what does the experienced man say? I'm watching these, you know, 2,500 viewers on a live video going, all right, Father, I see what you're doing. You tell the people to buy the truth and sell it not. These jokers are robbing the truth and selling it. You ain't got 2,500 thankful listening Americans. But hallelujah for the remnant and the righteous. And hallelujah for the Most High Yah. Let some Joe Schmo that don't have Yah's favor get out there and make a video and get 2,500 views in 32 minutes. I got a Straightway title on my YouTube, and if it wasn't Straightway, and it was just me and my white face talking about nothing, I ain't gonna have 9,000 views on the most recent. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. 2 weeks later, 9,000 views. Why we got 9,000 views on it, Ashley? Because Pastor's face is on it. I only got 200 views on the videos before that. Right? Somebody brought it to my attention. It's the only reason I know, because I told y'all, I don't pay attention to views. 8,000. Huh? 8,000. Get it right, Chef said. Thank you. 8,000. So in 2 weeks, we get 8,000 views. Some man with his wife making a video. It ain't happening. Not if you're talking the truth like he's talking. If you ain't got y'all's favor, you ain't getting that attention. And I know he's waking his people up because their time is short, and he's returning in our life. Back to this. He submitted himself to the older man, all right? So not only did he submit himself to the older man, but he has a woman, a wife that's following him. He understands how important these decisions are, and he's running with fire. He says, it wasn't long before I began to experience a problem with his wife having too much sway in his decision-making. That's a problem. That's a big problem. Because as soon as you sway her way, she'll sway again. It says, Mind you, this was early before the ministry was led to many of the truths in the scripture that we know today and that we've grown in. So this woman was a Jezebel, and she operated cunningly to sway her husband and the direction of the beginnings of the community. Woe unto her. He says the man was an Ahab, and you can see his authority constantly being challenged. Of course, I'm writing of many things that are hindsight now. When you're living a test and trial, you are learning and still growing yourself. Also, it's important to know if you have a true love for your brothers and sisters, which I did, when you do have that love, there's always a hope that they'll overcome Satan and his workings in their life. Isn't that true? I truly have no idea what some of you might be going through. Your tests, your trials, your challenges on community. But this will encourage you. Because in your heart, you have a heart like this brother. And you'll stand and you'll love. And it says, he says, it wasn't too long before reaching a breaking point in the beginnings of the new community. I brought up in a discussion the possibility of other saints in the ministry living on the new land with our families in the fellowship. In my mind, this land and everything on it belonged to Yah's people. So who were we to determine who or how many of us should live there? This was something I believed was and should be determined by the elders. Why? Because of experience. He's saying, I want to follow, I want to be led, I will yield myself to your experience, and I will do what you said. Why? Because I'm going to save myself a lot of heartache. It says, it quickly showed that the older man and his wife didn't agree. In fact, after that day, what day? Well, the day that we determined, you know, more people are going to live there, we're going to get some families and fellowship on this new land, this is what we're going to do, following the elders now. Quickly shows that the older man and his wife didn't agree. In fact, after that day, all their communication with me stopped. Wow. Shallow, right? The man would not answer my phone calls or emails. I followed what we have laid out in Matthew 18. I called for an elder to get involved. Right? Wouldn't you? When you ask for some help, just drop yourself out of full communication. After all this dialogue has happened, all this commitment, this home fellowship, it says after our elder finally got a hold of the older man, he was told it would be best if he stayed out of it. Let me tell you what hits my mind now. Yes, you can reach out to an elder if there is something fishy in your assembly. Yes, you can. Now, it's not going to go your way. You need to be completely humble. But if something's not right, something's not lining up, somebody's saying, doing, hiding, twisting, whatever, I don't know your circumstance. Yes, you can. Just like how pastor promotes you as a wife, yes, you can reach out if your husband is putting a gag order on you. Don't say nothing. Yes, you can. We don't believe in fear tactics. It's an open door policy, he says. But just make sure you prepare your heart for what you're going to hear. Don't cut a fool and tame your flesh before you get in the presence of great men and our elders, our leaders. It says, after our elder finally got a hold of the older man, he was told it would be best if he stayed out of it. Oh, hey, elder. Let's just say it's Elder Becker. Hey, Elder Becker, stay the hell out of it. What? Elder Rufus, stay the hell out of it. What? Then they cut all communication with pastor and the ministry. At this point, I received good counsel from our shepherd to go ahead and try to settle it civilly, you know, morally, respectively, by dividing up all that we had invested in the land with them. Remember, did they not just purchase, Jeff? Didn't they just purchase 37 acres of land? A lot more things, I'm sure, went into that than just, oh, here's our land, here's our handshake. Y'all got that kind of heart? Are we going to buy 37 acres of land? And you going to kick Trace? Okay, let's see if you love y'all. Brother Scott, let's see. So he says, we're going to try to handle it and settle it civilly by dividing up all that we have invested in the land. See, pastor's still coaching him to do right. The entire situation became so childish that I had to show up at the man's house unannounced just to get to talk with him. And this is an old man. He somewhat agreed with what I told him pastor said and going forth with dividing everything up that both parties had invested. I sent him an itemized spreadsheet of all the land purchases, items on the land, and $40,000 in cash that he was holding for additional purchases. Okay? So this man has a spreadsheet now, land purchases, all the things that might be on the land, items on the land. Let's just make it up because I don't know. We got this wood, that concrete, this nail, this hammer, that saw. I got my wagon over there. Drop my tents off. You know, items on the land. Whatever it is. So we got this communication happening. And what else do we got? We got $40,000 in cash that he was holding for additional purchases that we need on the land. Okay, so this old man has $40,000 in cash. Got it. So now he's got a spreadsheet. What I received next was something I could only relate to by reading the book in Paul's Perils with False Brethren. A man I trusted and thought to be my brother, thinking he had the same vision as the ministry, took the items from the land and left them on my front doorstep without a word said to me. Wait, what did Paul say? Man, Paul says, in journey often, in perils of water, what does peril mean? P-E-R-I-L, peril means danger. Let's say danger. I try to bring it English so we understand. I got dangers of water, Paul says. I got dangers of robbers, dangers of my own countrymen, dangers of the heathen, dangers of the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers in the sea, dangers among false brothers. And he said that because of false brethren unaware, that we were completely unaware of, that were brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, and there's a lot of that going on, don't think for a minute our shepherd and elders ain't slick with it. I'm just this little bitty old woman off in the corner seeing all this show. Like, Father, off with them. That they might bring us into bondage. Are you trying to bring Brother Scott into bondage? Okay. What I received next was something I can only relate to by reading the book of Paul's Perils with False Brethren. A man I trusted, thought to be my brother, thinking he had the same vision as the ministry, took the items from the land and left them on my front doorstep without a word said to me. I then lost all communication with him. The land was in his name, and it stayed that way. And the $40,000 in cash I gave him, he kept it. All right, do you love y'all? Let's see, Bro Scott, you love y'all? Other items that were not dropped on my doorstep remained locked in a cargo container that they changed the lock to on the land. And in the end, I got betrayed by an old man we broke bread with and who called himself my brother. Man, betrayal. It's prophesied. But it means nothing, my sisters. It means nothing if you ain't seen it and experienced it and felt it. I've seen my shepherd get betrayed time and time and time again, and it's prophesied that love is going to wax cold, and many shall betray one another. There's nothing that's going to stop it. And when you felt the pains of betrayal, as I even have, there's nothing like it. But when you're called to that great love, that would love past any betrayal, that's where you lose people in the flesh. Because they just don't get it. How you can love again and love again and love again and be betrayed by many. He says, it's easy to become bitter after a trial like this. It's one I don't think too many would have overcome early on. Never in my life had I experienced betrayal like that. But through it, I learned more than I ever could have imagined. I thank Yah for the decreement to guard not only my heart, but being at a level spiritually to help all of those in the home fellowship at that time. I continually spoke on guarding yourself from unforgiveness, bitterness, and resentment from the other saints, and can truly say I'm thankful for this test and trial. This taught me so much to the inner workings of Satan's kingdom very early in my walk. Pause. That's pivotal, Chef. This taught me so much to the inner workings of Satan's kingdom. Very early in my walk, Satan is seeking to make you keep unforgiveness towards one another, make you bitter towards one another, make you resentful and wish resentful things upon one another. Because Yah's not going to favor you. He's not going to heal you, hear you, deliver you, rescue you. He'll turn his ear from you if you got this malice in your heart. I also saw the mighty hand of Yah and his blessings be poured out, he says. Immediately after all this, the fellowship flourished. Man, I've seen that. You got someone contrary who leaves. You don't even know how amazing it is. You didn't even know something was wrong, though you knew it's fishy and somebody's subordinate and got their own agenda. But you just love, you know? You just love. You just consider. You live. You live peaceably. But man, oh man, that fellowship flourishing, those blessings being poured out, some communities understand that. It says deliverance with the other people in the fellowship, which was only taking place at our two homes prior, now began to take off. Both families were being set free, and the love that was present increased to a higher level than ever before. You got tears in your eyes yet, Sister Lisa? Yah then added a faithful sister to the fellowship, which is known and beloved by the ministry to this day. And for all that are new to the ministry, know from my experience, we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom. And many are the trials of the righteous, but Yah delivers us from them all. Says, my, what a trial. Not yet, Chef. Chat room says, my, what a trial. I'm going to try to find a scripture. Y'all bear with me. I don't got my, can I say sidekick? It's not a dishonorable term to my mother. I think it's Deuteronomy. And I think it's chapter 4. Where could it be? The keeping of your soul. Let's talk about that. I guess there's two aspects you could say. Well, doesn't the Most High keep, verse 9, doesn't the Most High keep your soul? Yeah. This English language, I'm telling you. Deuteronomy 4:9 says, let me back up a little bit. This is a conversation between the Father and Moshe. But Moshe's, you know, communicating to Israel, to the people, saying, hey, Israel, listen up. This is the statutes. This is a judgment. This is what I'm going to teach you. This is what I want you to do, that you may live and go and possess the land which Yahweh, the God of your fathers, has given you. Okay? It doesn't mean a lot to our people. I don't mean our people, like this land. I just mean in general, Israel is coming out of the gathering. They don't quite understand the concepts of the Father, how amazing it was to be given a land, you know, to obtain the Father's laws. Now, what nation is there so great that have these laws and these judgments that are so righteous? That Moshe said, which I've set before you this day, or Yah said, which I set before you this day. What's so great, man? You know your flesh is contrary to the Father, because nothing about your flesh is going to say, oh, these statutes and judgments and these laws are so great. You got to start living in the Spirit to embrace it and say, this stuff is awesome. This order and this structure this man is talking about, this is awesome. Verse 9 says, only take heed to yourself, okay? Let's just visualize it for a moment, Israel, my daughters, my sisters, the women of this faith. You're in a crowd of people, innumerable, as far as you can see. Moshe's talking to you, or your shepherd. It says, hey, you need to take heed to yourself, that you will keep your soul diligently, unless you forget the things which your eyes have seen, unless they depart from your heart all the days of your life. You need to teach them to your son and your son's sons. Take heed to yourself to keep your soul. I think it would benefit you to know the answer to that question. How do I keep my soul? And for him, this trial tested and proved his love for the Father, his commitment for the Father. He lost 40 grand, gained a lifetime of knowledge that he would apply the next time and the next time and the next time. And so you're listening to a ministry loaded with people who have experience, people who have laid their burdens down, been tested, been tried, committed, and are not fooled by all the numbers. 2.5 thousand views, and come on, we got a remnant. The rest are just going to benefit from the gospel. You know, pack up your house, get your homestead, get out of the city, and justly so. You know, friends with unrighteous mammon. Hey, they're going to come on board. They're going to hear. They're going to do. They're going to move. Let's go there. Let me see. Let me hit a ministry break really quick. I will not keep y'all much longer. I will try not to. I'm going to find a verse. Love y'all dearly. I'll be right back.
Shalom. This is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell Jr. That's Charles Dowell Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G-T-O-N. P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee. And Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E, 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell, Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may...
Hallelujah. Mama Jaja says Psalms 55:22, cast your burden upon Yahweh, he shall sustain you. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But you, O Yah, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. But I will trust in you. Hallelujah. So I'll wrap up my thoughts and end the show with 2 Thessalonians. Start at chapter 1, verse 5, and let's read all the way to 12. It says, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of Yah. What does that mean? I'm not going to break this whole thing apart. I don't mean that. I just want y'all to understand. So it just, what is an indication? That's the question. Which is a manifest token of the, just what is the indication of the righteous judgment of God? That you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Man, was that not suffering? Chef, you ever lost $40,000, Chef?
Ooh, I don't
know. Chef, you ever have $40,000?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And she ain't losing it so easy. Suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. Is when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire. Hallelujah. I can hardly read it up without choking up. Taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. I hope you understand these statements, my sisters. I can kind of discern who's listening right now. And there's this really soft Jesus that's been, you know, ministered. And because of that softness, we live in a society that says, you know what, hey, chef, surround yourself with soft people. You know, people that's going to speak kind to you. People that's going to fit into your world, you know, people that you're going to really gel with, be compatible with. And when you get in those kind of relationships, it's going to build you up. You're going to get positive vibes. You're just going to really, really soar in confidence. But we're over here going, wait a second. The Most High Yah, Jesus, shall be revealed from heaven with mighty angels and flaming fire, taking out vengeance on those who don't obey the gospel. It's going to benefit me to take all these relationships away, make that conscious decision for myself to change my relationships, because I need someone to challenge my way of thinking. I'm not getting any better shaking hands with someone soft. And I don't mean it like a woman needs to be soft. She needs to be tender, pliable, submitted, surrendered, and humble at all times. But when it comes to her mental resolve, she'll be as that woman who lost her seven sons, spoke boldly to the man who took their life, and threw herself in the fire. Where's the strength of that woman that knows her Yah is a Yah of fire? Will you believe Israel when the fire starts to fall? Will you believe when there are children that are gathered in the streets screaming and crying because their families forsook them? Didn't want to hear their cries anymore. Threw them in the streets to be malnourished. Can't feed them. It's coming to a city near you. And the children cry. And they gather around themselves, dropping all their weight and their belly swelling, screaming for food. Will you walk by when you have nothing for them? Will you wish that you heard? When Joel said that its fire devoured pastures, Hosea said, Israel, you forgot your maker. He's going to send a fire to the cities. Amos says, hey, seek Yahweh, and you'll live. Unless he breaks out like a fire in the house of Joseph, and nobody's going to quench it. And Nahum said, wait, who's going to stand before his indignation and his fury when it's poured out like fire? Everybody thinking about this softness and this soft generation and this soft relationships and this soft Jesus, and we can't hear a hard man. And he's got to be this hard man that I speak of, this shepherd that I speak of, is the most tender of us all. But you've yet to walk in the love of the Messiah to understand the application of the Spirit of Yah that tries to draw you away from the lies that bind you. Zephaniah said, the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. It's going to rain fire. But we don't, like Pastor said, we don't even preach a fearful, fire and brimstone message. We preach love. He preaches love. We serve because we love. We lay down our lives because we love. It ain't in everybody. You got to get it. You got to work hard for it. The person that don't love you, that you don't love, they're working hard for it too. Maybe. Maybe they're false. I don't know. You going to stand? No one can take you from the love of Yah. And I talked to a sister today. She said, what do I do about this, this, and this? Don't say anything. Well, why don't I say something? It's not right. It ain't right what she's saying. It ain't right. The Messiah was led to slaughter and he opened not his mouth. Read Isaiah 53. He said not a word. He was hated, rejected, despised, and oppressed. He was taunted, ridiculed, mocked, spit on. You ever been naked in front of your enemy? I'm talking about no clothes, bleeding from your eyes, naked in front of your enemy. And he opened not his mouth. What's the quote on Facebook? Well, y'all are like, which one? Look, I don't look on there much, so I can say what's the quote on Facebook. Somebody, I think it was Sister Jasmine. She said, a quote from Pastor. It said, some of you don't have anything and you still can't give all. Wow. Man, is that not the generation talked about? Where the servant rides on the horse and the king leads the horse? Hallelujah. Jesus help us. So this is a game for souls. And in your life, you're going to see things you never imagined, and you're going to see things that Hollywood never put in front of you. And though it was detrimental that Hollywood painted this apocalyptic sci-fi fantasy world, it gives you somewhat of an idea of what it's going to be like when hell's doors be open on this earth. And I pray that you believe now and that you don't wait. It's bad when you got nothing and you can't forsake anything. Our brother Steve posted it. It's bad when you got nothing and you can't forsake anything. Pastor Charles Dow. Hallelujah. I think I'll end with that. We got a good example of a brother who has a untouchable, impeccable family, history, and story. And he stood. And that's what it's about. Don't fear the trial. Don't fear the flame. Just love. Love the Father. Love the body. Love the brethren. Love the King. Hallelujah. Honor all men. Going back to finish, why would I tell her not to say anything? Because it benefits you as a woman to practice silence. It doesn't benefit you to express yourself. You've done that for years and it didn't work. And if you don't have the strength in you to maintain your own voice, fast it away. Because you'll gain the favor of your Creator through your silence and not your voice. As Pastor says, you just heard the truth and the truth straightway. Shalom, beloved daughters of Israel, who the Father loves without end.